repentance. One soul. And although, you know, I don't expect to ever preach to the thousands, at least not at one time, right? Maybe I'll add them up over the years and years, and maybe it'll be 1,000 or something. But you know what? It doesn't matter. If I'm doing what God called me to do, that's what counts. And all of us is that way. You know, I get to stand behind this little, you know, soapbox here and talk, and it makes me feel real big and important until I hear this other guy down the street who's preaching to thousands. Well, then I forget about that. But that doesn't matter anyhow. It's what God called me to do that's so important. And we've got to remember that. And so Paul's making an assessment there in verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for what? For which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. You know, he followed after. He went on to do that. This word perfect, you know, it's not perfect like we think, absolute, you know, perfection and everything like that. It's not, he's not talking about a perfect person, but he's saying to reach the goal as his full purpose. That's it. That's what he's reaching. Whatever God has set before us, that's what we need to reach out for, right? He's not perfect yet. He hasn't achieved yet. He hasn't come to the place. Have you ever been ready to die, but God said he wasn't ready for you to die yet? You feel that way? I'm ready to go home, but you know something's not completed in your life. Your work's not done yet. And that's kind of what Paul's kind of saying there too. You know, that perfect, it's like a full-grown man opposed to somebody who's just coming into, you know, adulthood. Somebody that's 12 or 13, they might have it pretty much together and all that, but there's still some growth to go there. And, you know, but that perfect that Paul's talking about is a mature mind. You know, he's qualified in a certain area. He's done it. You know, I feel like every one of us here is qualified in the area that God's called us to work in right now. We're qualified. We're perfect in that sense, but we've got to fulfill the calling of God in our life. We've got to reach out to do that. And now is not a time to sleep. Now is a time. You know, if you think you see the end drawing near, I tell you what, look around. There's work to be done yet, right? You know, we need to be found working. God loves people. He loves people. He loves them so much he sent his son Jesus to die for them. He loves people. People around us that we might not love so much. We've got to wake up to the love of Christ. He made us all in his image. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves people. And you know, I think the more we learn to love Christ, the more we're going to love people too. We've got to get to the heart that like God has. Oh, Jesus, right? Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, we need that. Hallelujah. You know, so we use that word perfect there. Not in a means of being a complete Christian, but pressing onward, pressing on to what God has called us to be. It's so important. You know, if we're satisfied in our own spiritual condition right now, we're probably not going to move on. That's a scary thing, isn't it? We're probably going to fade away. You won't grow anymore. That's why Paul, you know, he expresses so well that he was never satisfied. He was an outstanding Christian. Isn't that when you look at Paul? I didn't like Paul when I first became a Christian. I read these books that Paul wrote. And you know what? I just could not see me being Paul. You know, I give up kind of easy sometimes. I retreat. I, you know, all that. Paul, he wasn't a quitter. I mean, he's writing from prison, right? He's stoned, left for dead, gets up, goes into the city and preaches to the farewell to the people and goes on to the next city and preaches some more. You know, shipwreck, no problem. He gets a hold of God on the boat and leads the way to land. Everything, you know, he was just, and you know, you could look at his life of all the tragedy, all the times in prison, all the beating, scourging, and all that, the rejection of society. He was one of the most successful Christians that lived. You know, even I think it was Peter that said that Paul flourished so much in his work. Look at all the people he reached with that. We are disciples of Paul today by what he wrote. We learn from him. We're led by him. You can't judge by what the world's doing. We got to go on with him. Hallelujah. You know, the Christian is mature. He examines himself and he strives to do better. That's what we need to do. Never stop. You know, don't live on your past glories because they get old. There. We got this whole life to live. You think you're doing good? You think you're going to get a lot of rewards in heaven? Well, take a look at Paul. I don't think we've got as many rewards as he has, right? Or some other people. People being crucified, right? People being killed for their faith today. We didn't announce it, but today's supposed to be Orange Sunday again, right? Remember? The first Sunday of every month, orange, just like the people being killed overseas, martyred for their faith. As a reminder, You know, it's just a little thing going on at a few churches that we're going to dress in orange with that. And but it's so true. These people are giving their lives. And you know, that scares me because I'm so plush, you know. I mean, we got it made. We got plenty of food on the table. We got cars. We got friends. Nice place to live. Air-conditioned church. You know, all this kind of stuff. We just got it made. And there are people out there dying for their faith. I'm not saying, God, you should be suffering in that sense here on the earth. If God didn't call you that, that's fine. You know, but we should support those that are. We should help. And we should do what God calls us to do here. We need to have the mind like Christ, isn't it? Mind like Christ. Just go on. You know, so that's the mark of maturity, knowing that you're not perfect, right? Look at the church at Sardis here. I'll just read you Revelation chapter 3 says about him. It says the church of Sardis says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead." They didn't have a good assessment of themselves, did they? Laodicea was the same thing. They thought they were rich, but they were poor. Revelation 3:17 says, "Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So he advised them in verse 18, says, "So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire, then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and anoint an ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see." You know, they were famous for all those things, but they were found lacking. You know, if we assess ourselves wrong more than we really are, we're in great danger, aren't we? And we need to get in there with God. You know, evaluating ourselves can get us into a lot of trouble. Either we over-evaluate ourselves and become proud, and then we become apathetic, and you know, we don't think we need anything, and we don't draw closer to God because we think we already got it. We're pretty comfortable there. But, you know, if on the other hand, if we think we're less than what we are, well, then we become discouraged, don't we? And we become defeated that way, too. So it's important to just keep going on. You know, the stuff of the past, even the past, just reach on to what you're supposed to go to, right? What God's calling us. So that's the best thing we can do, is do our best for Jesus. Do your best for Jesus. Do your best for Jesus. The world of Cain is prospering. But you know what? So is the world of Abel. It's just that Cain, they collect garbage, right? Stuff that's going to pass away. But the world of Abel, we're working for God, and there are eternal rewards. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the mind of man, the wonderful things that God has in store for those who love him. Wow. That's so wonderful, what God's got ahead of for us. It's so good, and we need to hold on to him. There's a lot of reasons, I guess, why we should grow spiritually, too. I got a list here of 9 of them. First of all, it glorifies God, isn't it, when we grow spiritually? It shows the glory of God. You know, it's evidence that we are born again, if we're growing in the Lord. Another thing, it makes the truth of God visible to other people. They need to see the truth of God. If we don't grow to be mature Christians, able to turn the other cheek, able to love those who hate us, being friends to enemies, being unselfish and things like that, how are they going to know that Christianity is really true? It assures us of our salvation if we're growing in the Lord, right? It protects the cause of Christ from reproach. You know, if we say we're Christians and don't act like Christians, who gets reproached for that? The name of Christ. Oh, those Christians. Oh, Jesus, huh? Have you ever done that? I think we all have at some time or another. It's a very embarrassing and sort of sad thing, too. I think it's the Holy Spirit just telling us, you know, giving us a little mirror here for a little bit and letting us see who we are so that we can correct a few things, right? But, you know, we need to protect that. We need to protect the Lord and by the way we live. And it protects us from suffering that comes from a backslidden life. You ever think of that? You're blessed when you walk with the Lord. You're blessed when you walk in righteousness. But when you backslide, things fall apart. They can fall apart pretty bad. On the way in this morning, we heard a sermon about, you know, how we need godly leaders. And how when we don't have godly leaders, we forget how bad things get. Look at the Battle of Jericho, they said on the radio this morning. Look at the Battle of Jericho, how well they were. They fought this big city, and God fought it with them, and the walls came tumbling down, and they took the city. The next battle, though, there was someone in sin in the camp. It was a little city, Ai, so they just sent a few soldiers, and they got whooped real bad because there was sin in the camp. Righteousness is blessings. Where often, you know, not right, being not righteous, you lose the presence of God, right? You know, not to mention that the joy we get from living for Christ. And it equips us for ministries to other Christians as well, doesn't it? And enhances our witness to the world. It does. Walking for God. Living for God. So Paul had his mind on something else. The last half of verse 12 says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, Paul wanted to apprehend something. What? He wanted to apprehend that thing that Jesus said he was apprehended for. What does that mean? You know, it's like sometimes Paul plays with words pretty good, doesn't he, with that. But, you know, he's saying, Jesus called me for a reason. He's got a purpose for each one of us in our lives, doesn't he? And we need to apprehend that purpose. We need to apprehend fulfilling the purpose that Christ has called us for, right? We need to be doing what God called us to do. We can't sleep our Christian life away. We can't say, I'm saved, good night, wake me when I'm on my way up, you know? God's got a purpose for us. And we don't realize that. But, you know, we're blessed in fulfilling the purpose that God has in our lives. We are blessed. You will grow. You will be filled with joy. You will be filled with the Spirit of God. You will walk. You'll see miracles. You know, what's the best thing you can do to bring joy into your heart? It's give out of a godly heart, isn't it? It's to give. It really is. Don't you love to give to somebody in need? Don't you love it when you can finally somehow in the flesh show somebody that you really do love Christ and you give out of that? It's a wonderful thing. And we need to grow into that. We need to be Christians among Christians today. You know, the darker the world gets, the brighter our light needs to shine. We need to be faithful to Him. Don't deny Christ because things get tough. Don't. Follow God. Matter of fact, you know, trim your sails or whatever it takes, right? Spiff yourself up Christian-wise, right? You know, for that, to shine in a dark world. Because the world cannot bring joy to itself. The world, you know, I don't care how well they plan things out, what they do, they bend over backwards for whatever, you know, meets the flesh. It will not bring success. It will not bring joy. It will not bring fulfillment because we need God. And we have God. And they are looking for God. They don't know it, but they're looking for Him. And we need to be prepared and ready to give it, right? Be the Lord's, right? Paul said that he followed after. You know, that means he eagerly pursued it. We can be doing that too, eagerly pursuing it. Let's go on here a little bit. Verse 13. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Isn't that true? You know, we can't just let yesterday have us. We need to reach ahead. We need to look ahead. Are you doing that? You know, if you're running a race, is it good to look back to see where your opponent's at? No. Great races have been lost by that. A glance over the shoulder, they lose their balance, they lose their track, they lose where they are, not to mention break their stride, the whole thing they lose. We can't either, too. We can't either, also, okay, with that. You know, we need to be going on ahead with that. We're in a Christian race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. You know, that's another thing about this race we're in, this life we're leading, this pursuit we're after. It's not a sprint, isn't it? It's a marathon. It's a lifelong thing. I don't know what gets in people's heads when they decide I'm going to run a marathon. I guess I'm not long-winded. I remember in high school, freshman year, the first time I was ever asked to run a mile, you know, if I had class did that. My lungs were burning by the time I was done with that mile, you know. In boot camp, we had to run 2.5 miles, but that was after the end of training for about 8 weeks or so with that. It was still tough running 2.5 miles. And, you know, my time was nothing to be proud of about that. And so some of these people, for fun, they go run, what is it, 23.6 miles or something like that? Oh, man, how far? 26.2. Oh, my goodness, this is worse than I thought. You know, I mean, wow, I really looked at those guys. But, you know, our Christian life is like that, but there's something there to attain. At the end, you know, the Greek Olympics, what did they get? a little thing of cluster of leaves on their head, right? It's all faded by the next day, all wilted and everything. But with Christ, it's everlasting rewards. Everlasting rewards. What a thing. You know, we need to be running that. You know, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, to have apprehended. He's still in the race. He's still running. Even though he's in prison, yeah, maybe he's in a, what do they call that in hockey, the penalty box for a little bit, as far as the world's concerned. But he wasn't wasting time there. He was writing to the churches and encouraging them, right? But this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind and reaching forth. You know, that's what we need to be doing, reaching forth. The time is short. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The Lord will be coming soon. Reaching forth. You know that reaching forth too is like running a race. You know, you don't see them coast in to the finish line. Usually that's when the race is the hottest. Yeah, they're tired. They've been running a while. Yeah, the competition has been there the whole time. But I tell you what, if there's a battle for that first place, they're stretching out. They're reaching forth with everything they got. We need to come up to that. Reach out for God. It means you're going to have to put a lot of things of the world aside, isn't it? Is there ever a better time to do it than today? Man, I think that we see the end more clearly than any generation that ever lived. We can see the end that clearly. I mean, we might not know the Antichrist, but we can sure see a silhouette out there. We might not have world government yet, but we see the makings of it. We see worldliness growing in leaps and bounds. And you know what? Christ's people should shine like lights in the midst of this. And here we look at the Word of God, and it's giving us instruction. I tell you, if you're going to pick up the Bible, now's a good time to do it. If you're going to start living a Christian life, I can't think of a better time. If you're going to run the hardest, you know what? The goal line's right in view. Finish that race. Finish it well. Wow. How do you say this in verse 14? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, he's pressing toward, pressing. You know, that's not an easy thing, pressing. He's pressing toward the mark. What's the mark? It was a finish line, wasn't it? It was the goal. Is that place, that purpose that God called you for? He presses toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You know what? When they finished the race, the Olympics, they were called up to the Bema judgment seat. That's where the rewards are given. That's where the rewards. We had an excellent sermon by a friend of yours about that, the Bema judgment seat, about the rewards there. Well, are we going to have an award in heaven? Are we going to be rewarded in heaven? Do we have anything to offer unto Christ as reward? Any sacrifice of our life? Any bring forth? Any, you know, purpose fulfilled? Any obedience given? We'll be rewarded for that. Can you imagine how ashamed it'd be to show up in heaven and not be called to be given a golden crown? Not be called to be rewarded. What a shameful thing. I think when Paul got there, you know, what did he say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that we're all in a high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It's a high calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. I tell you what, you know, the world never had a majority of Christians. It's always been a minority. It's an honor. Remember what the Marines say? The few, the proud, the Marines, right? It says it's really something. We could say that about Christianity, isn't it? Except we shouldn't be prideful. But I tell you what, we should be honored, right? Honored to be a Christian. Honored to be called by God. Honored to go through these trials, like James said. Honored because God is calling us to a high position. And there's great rewards, too. Great rewards ahead. Look ahead, right? Look ahead. You know, I could so much tie this whole sermon into what Pastor Dennis and Jody and the family are doing here. They're moving on up, isn't it? You know, Dennis never, I got to tell you, Dennis, you never settled down here. He didn't like it here. He felt a higher calling. He knew that this is just a stepping stone to the next place, and God would just get training him here to go on. And he didn't let that vision die. He kept going. He kept feeling. He kept reaching out. And God answered that, didn't he? God's bringing him out. God's lifting him up. God's taking him on, putting him in a bigger position, even a bigger church than ours. So, what a wonderful thing, though. What a blessing, isn't it? But you know what? God does that with all of us, doesn't he? He can't give us what we haven't prepared for. He's called us. Do what you can with what you got, and you'll be surprised what God will make out of you. and where God can take you. It's amazing. Be faithful. I guess that's the end of my sermon today. I just wanted to just bring that to mind, right? I do have a little illustration that I think makes a lot of sense at the end of this sermon here somewhere. It's about a small church in a Swiss mountain, and there a body of a young English climber was buried. And on the tombstone, under his name and date, were these words, "He died climbing." That's what a climber should do, isn't it? Die climbing. You know, it's like writers should write, climbers should climb, Christians should walk the walk, shouldn't they? Christians should be about God's calling and business to them. You know, when we die, you know, are we going to be climbing? Are we going to be walking with God? That's his call for us. That's what Paul didn't give up, right? You know, he said he fought a good fight. He kept the course, he kept the faith, right? Now there's rewards in heaven for me. And not for me only, he said, but unto all those who so follow the Lord. It's a day. It's a day. It's a day. Put on your running shoes, right? Fill yourself with the word of God. Put on that helmet of salvation. Embrace the Lord. Your presence is heaven to me. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, we ask, Almighty God, that help us, O Lord, to answer your call. You've got a call in our lives, O Lord. And it's easy, Lord. We get tired, Lord. Even in the book of Revelation, you said there was a time where the saints would be worn down. The devil would wear down the saints. Lord, if that's happening in our life, God, we ask, give us more. Renew us in your spirit, O Lord. Fill us again with the joy of your salvation, O Lord God. Let that joy of salvation be our strength, as you said it would, O God. Help us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, O Lord. Help us to remember those promises. You said we should call on you in the day of trouble, and you would answer our prayer. You would deliver us, and we would glorify your name, O Lord. God, today is that day. Help us, O Lord, to get up, to run the race. Help us, O Lord, to be about your business, to answer the call that you have in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, and help us always walk in that, in your presence, O Lord, to find you daily. Lord, bring forth your word now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning, the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. And we'll start reading there in verse 1, we'll start reading. It says here, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That's a good command, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord. We should. You know, have you ever got so carried away with the world that you couldn't rejoice in the Lord for a little bit there, you know? You just got struck. You know, trials of the day, the pressures of the day, maybe you weren't feeling good, all that kind of stuff. You know, they get you. But we should rejoice in the Lord. You know, we've got to look ahead, don't we? We've got to look ahead. We've got to look at what God's bringing. We've got to look where God's taking us. We've got to be sure he's still in control. He is. So finally, brethren, he's saying here, "Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." You know, it's good. He said, beware of a few things here. Beware of dogs. That's good common sense, isn't it? I mean, today we tell kids that. But I don't think he was talking about those little animals that run around here. I think he was talking about something else. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision or mutilators. Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Isn't that true? You know, we are the circumcision. Do you realize that we are separated unto God? We are God's people. And I don't say that proud of ourselves. I say that, wow, with the mercy of God, huh? That he made us his people. And that'll hold us up through anything. Verse 4, it says, "Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he is whereof he might trust in flesh, I more." And then he goes through a whole list of things, how he's born in the right family, circumcised in the right day. He had zeal persecuting the church. And verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." You know? Isn't that true? Here in this earth, we can gain a lot, but it's loss. When you compare it to Christ, it's garbage. It is. He goes on to say that, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You know, we lose that picture so often, don't we? We get carried away with day stuff, right? All this stuff here on earth and all our things, we get down, we get out, we get discouraged and all that. But you know what? It's all nothing compared to Christ. All that you give, maybe as a sacrifice or just give to give away or put off because it's what God says you should do. It's nothing compared to what we're going to gain with Christ, what we have already gained. To be a child of God with eternal life is just astounding. And, you know, the more I think of it, now that Dennis is an old man too, you know, now that I think of it, you know, it's amazing how close you are to heaven, isn't it? You're there. Yeah, you know, and we're just moving right along. It's just a few breaths away, a few more thousand heartbeats if we're fortunate. You know, who knows? Maybe it's sooner than that. We'll be even more fortunate. But it's something. And all this stuff here, it's going to be left behind. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They're all left behind because the world's going to pass away, and those will pass away too. Only the things for Christ will last. And we have this. God has brought this to us. He's given us his son Jesus to die, to pay for our sins, and to make us children of God, to bring us into fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. He is. Hallelujah. So verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, isn't that something? It's by his gift. It's by his grace. It's by his sacrifice that we are made right in God's sight. It's him. He gave us a new heart. He put his law on our heart. He sent us the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us and walk with us. He broke the power of sin that now we can choose to serve him. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free, right? Stand fast in that liberty. Stand fast. Put your eyes on heaven. That's the important thing. You know, if we keep our eyes on the news, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get discouraged. You keep your eyes on this stuff. You know, I thought, you know, wow. I remember once there was a young guy here, and he was becoming a minister, and one of the first things he did was he bought a new pair of shoes, and they were expensive shoes. He says, these are going to last me for my whole life. You know, it's been 23 years now. I doubt if he's wearing those shoes still, you know? Even what he hoped would last forever is probably worn out, isn't it? The best of the earth is worn out. But the things in Christ will last forever and ever. And we should be rejoicing in the Lord. That first one really has got to stick with me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we can do. Verse 10, he says, I'll read verse 9 and 10 together. And we might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Isn't that something? You know, that isn't it something? We give up all this that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. Isn't that? The resurrection wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It was something that happened in our life when we gave our life to the Lord too. Christ resurrected in us and a new being. Our spirit was set free again, and we were set free of the bondage and pain and the sentence of sin and death. And we have Christ now. And also he's bringing us into the fellowship of his sufferings. Now that never sounds good, does it? But you know what? With Christ, we can endure it. With Christ, you know, we've got to look at it this way. Jesus did this for us, didn't he? When he got to Jerusalem and he sat down for the Last Supper, he said, I have looked forward to having this supper with you, knowing very well he was going to die after supper. He looked forward to giving his life, to going through that suffering and pain for us. Well, you know what? Have you ever said to God, God, I love you so much, I wish I could show you. Well, that's it, isn't it? It's to be faithful even during suffering. It's to be faithful even during trials. And, you know, it's a great thing. I think, I can't remember who it was, one of the old saints that was killed for the Lord, he was going to be burned at the stake the next day, and him and another guy were locked in a cell, and I was reading about it, he says he swung around the bedpost saying, what a flaming light we're going to make for the Lord tomorrow. You know, he was looking forward to it. We're going to die and give our life. What a light we're going to be for him tomorrow. And we want to be a light in this world, don't we? For Jesus. We do. We need to love him that much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 11. This is where I was getting at, I guess. Verse 12. It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, he was willing to give up, give everything, walk with Christ, be raised by the resurrection, join Christ in Christ's suffering, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, he wanted to have that great grand prize. Eternal life with Christ forever and ever. Eternal. We too. You know, the last few weeks I've been preaching kind of about, you know, the civilization of Cain versus the civilization of Abel. And Cain seems to be flourishing. And Abel, he's still there, and he's got a strong kingdom. Although he's dead, you know, his blood still cries from the ground. And God still holds him there as a saint. You know that? But, you know, we need to be children of Abel, don't we? Or children of Seth was the next son born to Adam and Eve that was righteous with that. And, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about, remember in Matthew, about the three parables there in Matthew chapter 7. And how it was a group that Jesus said, in the last days they'll say, Lord, Lord. And I'll say, go away from me, I never knew you. Right? It sounds like Paul's sort of repeating that here in verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Right? In Luke 13, somebody asked Jesus, are the few to be saved? And he said, strive to enter in. For broad is the way to destruction. Right? He said, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. So strive to enter in. Don't let the world overtake your heart and your soul. Live for Christ. Keep your eye on heaven. Keep your eye way ahead there. It'll keep you on the right trail. And I mean that. You know, it sounds like a good thing to do. It sounds like a right thing to do. It sounds like, yeah, let's live in fantasy land. But it's the truth. If you forget where you're going, it's easy to go anyway. Right? It's easy to be distracted if you don't have your eye on the goal. And that's what we're going to read here, 12 through 14. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? He kept his, what do you say it, nose to the grindstone? He kept his eye on the prize, right? He kept his path on the straight and narrow because he knew where he was going. And, you know, that's exactly what we need to do today too, isn't it? Do that. You know, every Christian has to admit a couple things. We've got failures in the past. We do, isn't it? And the other thing is that we're not satisfied to remain where we're at now. We know there's something more for us. We know that there's more God for us. We know that there's more ahead for us. We know that there's more obstacles and giants in the way that are going to fall by our spiritual swords, right? By the word of God. And you know, so we won't be satisfied until we get there. And that's what Paul's kind of saying here too. He, you know, he could go through his credentials. He did a lot. You could look back at his history. He's done a lot. He wrote this letter from prison. I mean, that didn't put him down. There he is. If I was in prison, you know what? I'd hope to get a lot of letters encouraging me. Heck, he was sitting in prison encouraging everybody from there. He kept his eye on the prize, didn't he? And it's so important, you know, that to do that though, you know, we got to remember that our victories as well as our failures are in the past. Both of them are in the past. We got to keep looking ahead. We can't live off of old victories, and we can't be brought down by old failures. We got to look ahead. We can do all things for Christ. Even if we failed, even if we fall asleep, it's time to wake up and get on the trail. Keep moving on for the Lord. God will receive that. He won't turn you away. Christ already died for your sins. He loves us, right? Paul's attitude was, there's a new day ahead, right? This is a new day, and we can live it for God. And every day is a new day for us. Isn't that neat? God gives us new starts all the time. You know, there's new years, new decades, new millennials, right? There's new weeks, days, hours, minutes. Every one of those things, right? We can put that stuff behind and go ahead and hope and that. But first, you know, we need to make a good assessment of ourselves. Verse 12 here says, not as though I had already attained. You know, he was sort of that, making that assessment. Have I attained or not? And then he goes on to say, either we're already perfect or complete, right? Not as though I have already achieved everything with that. He's not looking at that. You know, Paul could have said, well, I've reached a lot of converts. I started a lot of churches. You know, I've gone to large cities and had them go. I've made great progress, he could have said. But, you know, there's still a lot of ground to be covered is how he's looking at. And there is in our life too. We've got a life to live out for Christ. Christ knew greater and greater things for us. I was reading about businessmen sometimes, you know. Businessmen, some of them, you know, they start young and they build this business and all. But there are a group of businessmen who didn't start their business till they retired. And they became very successful. They were too busy working to get at what they really wanted to do. But finally, when they were done with their job, then they could do what they really wanted to do and became very successful. You know, we shouldn't count ourselves out yet, no matter how young or old we are, Dennis. Remember that. You're not I don't mean to be picking on you or anything, but but it's something, isn't it? Every day, every one of us, you don't know what God can use. We don't realize sometimes the value of a soul in heaven, what that means to God. Remember, the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that